excited we're here. You're here listening to Vanderpodcalypse Now, the podcast about Vanderpump Rules. We have a very special guest today. We're not going to be recapping today, not today, because Anne Maddox is here.
Hi.
Yes, we're so excited to have her. You might know her from, I don't know, the show Vanderpump Rules that you are obsessed with and listen to our podcast about.
Or you might know her from UCB 2010.
Yeah.
Friend. Some weird sketch.
UCB. Yeah, that's true. How, not too shabby.
That's
how I know her.
That's true. I remember way back when we're doing some thing that we thought was going to make us famous.
Yeah.
Turns out,
like, rolling around on the floor. I did a lot of, like, rolling around on the floor.
A lot of shouting.
Like, you know, worked with so many, like, you know, and performed or whatever with so many people over the years.
Yeah.
And people have gone out to do really cool stuff, whatever. Yeah. But your trajectory is probably the most starstruckness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so unique. Like, it's just so unique. And it's almost surreal to see.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably, but just for, like, an outsider, insider.
Oh, my God. You've gone on to do the most interesting. I mean, and we talked a little bit about on your podcast. Yeah. I signed an NDA, which is so fun. And you should listen to it. Subscribe right now.
Mm-hmm. Not just because you're on it, Rebecca.
Not just. I didn't say that.
And I will be on it eventually, or so I'm told.
Wow. You trust no one.
No, I don't. I'm jaded.
Yeah, very jaded. But I think it's just so interesting. It's just, like, such a part of our field that, like, you're like, I really don't know, as, like, you know, a comedian, performer, like, right? Like, you just don't know, like, what will be the next, around the next corner. And around your next corner was Scandaball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so all you comedians, just, like, keep going at it. One day, your boss is going to ask you to be on camera.
I feel like there's been so many people that are, you know, comedians and actors that have worked as assistants over the years, or been working at, like, you know, whether UCB or IO or one of these places as an intern, or, you know, these things that you're kind of... But this one seems to, at least from my optics, seems like it's paid off in an interesting way, whereas some of them are just like, I just have terrible stories about bad celebrities or annoying or nice celebrities.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Working my improv skills.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I also want to say, too, when I found out that you were an assistant to Tom Sandoval, like, years ago, and you were, again, so gracious when I was, like, reaching out, and I was like, oh, my God. And you were like, oh, my God. Like, you were so nice. And, like, again, we know each other peripherally, but, like, I was so fascinated. And you were, again, so gracious. And I'm sure a lot of, like, and now I'm sure you, you know, are getting all kinds of, you know, asks and interesting people coming out of the woodwork.
We're so glad we invested in you in this weird way. It's like, I'm going to try to be as nice to as many people as possible, or at least, like, a similar thing, because you never know who you want to exploit. I don't know who I want to exploit next. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So many possibilities. Oh, my God.
But, you know, it's also interesting is that people, when they see you on there, they might not realize, like, you it's not like you showed up day one and you're on camera. Like,
yeah.
You've been, like, in this world, ingrained in it.
Yeah.
Getting zero attention.
Yeah. I'm supposed to hide.
That's not the Hollywood I know. That's not the Hollywood. It's almost kind of like it's a job to survive.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost. Not almost quite. Like that. Not but quite, almost. But almost.
Yeah. You got to pay rent. Everybody's got to pay rent.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, I mean, I want to start from the very beginning.
Okay.
And, like, before you were Tom Sandoval's assistant, like, what was your, were you a Bravo watcher? Was it on your radar? Like, tell me about your relationship with VPR.
So before I was Tom's assistant, I loved, like, Project Runway.
We're calling that BT, by the way.
BT. Before
not,
Tom?
Before not BC. We're calling it
not
BT.
BTS, though.
Yeah. Yeah. BTS, that's
a BT. A K-pop band. BT, I was into Below Deck and Project Runway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I think I tried getting in The Real Housewives because it was, like, such a big, you know, show.
Yeah.
But I just, like, kept feeling sad in season one of Housewives of Beverly Hills, because it's, like, these moms and their kids are like, shut up, mom. And I don't know. And everything was kind of, like, falling apart season one and two. And it just really bummed me out. But then I started working for Tom. And, like, 3 months into working for him, I was like, oh, I should support his show. Mm-hmm. Like,
did you say when this was? What? How long ago this was? Or that? If that's a secret, you tell me. If you don't want to say something, I don't know what you're allowed to say or not say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can't,
I'll say my lawyer advises me not to say, or I'll say no comment.
It sounds like very cool when you're like, my lawyer's like says I should.
I don't want to go to prison. So
exactly.
So 2020 was when I started working for Tom. And then 3 months into it, I was like, oh, I'm going to go watch the show. But Tom Schwartz made me promise him that I wouldn't watch beyond season one.
Yeah, because Schwartz is not a main cast member in season one.
Exactly.
Really.
And, you know, and he does some naughty things in season two.
Yeah.
And I think he just was like, oh, don't see how I dump a drink on my wife's head. But season one was such a blast. I was like, I gotta watch the rest of this. I'm addicted.
Hooked.
I'm hooked. Yeah. So I had to like admit to Schwartz, like, I'm binging. I'm in season five now.
Yeah. Like, you're like, just a warning.
Yeah. Just a warning. Exactly. I know everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I know you on the beach. I know you in Mexico and Vegas. I've seen your Vegas hotel rooms.
Oh my God. Yes.
But it's interesting that you're watching this and like you have these preconceptions of these people that you like work for and around and they start to, I assume, change as you start getting into the show.
Yeah. Because when I first met Tom, like, he's my boss. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have this image of someone who's like your boss. Mm-hmm. And then you see season one, him, you know, he admitted that he was like, he accidentally took the wrong pill, his like, you know, nighttime pill instead of his like Adderall pill, and then drank, and then ended up like ripping his shirt in the parking lot and tried to fight.
Like, in Vegas, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Stassi's birthday.
Yeah. Her 23rd birthday, I think.
Gosh, so young. Yeah.
Such a baby.
It's my birthday.
Yeah. Exactly what dress she wore. Yeah. But everyone was ripping their shirts off in the parking lot. So he was in good company.
Really sweaty, really
drunk. Who kept their shirt on?
Yeah.
Oh, Jack's did. Well, he kept his sweater on.
Yeah.
He had like a wool sweater.
Yeah, his chunky sweater.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I remember the next day being like, Tom Sandoval, like, I didn't see this side of you. And then you keep watching. You're like, oh,
yeah,
this is my boss.
Like, oh, my God. Wait. So what side of Tom Sandoval did you see when you first started working for him?
I guess like a more, I don't know, when you first meet someone, like, you know, like the first month or so, you're still cordial and there's still
edges. It's a honeymoon phase,
it's
right?
The honeymoon phase, yeah. The honeymoon phase went for, I would say, like the first year and a half. Yeah. Where like, it wasn't just with Tom, but like, I was falling in love with Ariana too and their relationship. And, yeah. And then we had some really fun times, like the three of us like hanging out.
Oh my God. Well, also, I mean, I also want to say this is like in COVID too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're very like, you're kind of siloed.
Yeah, you're very bonded because you can't go anywhere else. And, you know, this couple has like trusted me to come inside their home. So that's very gracious. And I have people to talk to, like, and interact with.
Yeah.
Tom Schwartz and Ariana for my birthday went with me to get my ears pierced.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, the three of them took me.
Had you not had your ears pierced before?
No.
See, I got my ears pierced at 33, 34 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So did you go to like a Claire's with Tom and Ariana?
Yeah. We went to the mall in Sherman Oaks.
Incredible.
And then we first stopped into the Tokyo store because I'm Japanese. And I was like, you guys have a Tokyo store. And they got me a bucket hat.
Oh.
And then we went to Claire's and I got them pierced.
By like a teenager who was just like, sit down.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh my God. It's such like a beautiful, like, and we'll get to it, but just to have them, like, to know them as a couple and to get to know them kind of as a unit and to essentially like quarantine with them too.
That's such the layers of weird your life was. Is like it's kind of hard to comprehend.
I'm still soaking it in. Like, I'm still day by day being like, wow, things are really different right now.
I mean, people are just constantly having you relive it. It's crazy. Who's doing that?
But also, nobody we know.
Yeah, not us.
Mm-mm, why would we do
that? We're just
that?
Having a conversation.
Yeah, right. We do. Microphones and a well-lit office space. But I want to go back to and just like, how did you even come across this job?
Good question. So I used to work at the Greek Theater, and sorry, I just had a sip of Loverboy.
We're drinking Loverboy.
Not sponsored, by the way, but not, we are open.
Yeah. It's party time.
We're
open to party.
I know. If we rehash your trauma, then I at least have to give you a nice beverage to do it with.
In honor of Summer House. Mm-hmm. Cheers.
Cheers.
I don't drink unless I get paid. I'm cutthroat corporate, okay?
That's right.
So where was I? I had a job at the Greek Theater. Because of COVID, all the concert venues shut down. So then I posted on Facebook that I needed a job. And then a mutual friend of Ariana and I's, who's a comedian, was like, oh, I know someone's actually looking for a personal assistant. And she knew that I had like an assistant background. And I've also organized for people. I was like a professional organizer.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And then a babysitter nanny.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, they were like, oh, submit your resume. Mm-hmm. And then a phone call later, I got the job.
It's weird. I see so many people over the years. We probably all do that. I'm on Facebook and looking for a job. And it's like, you're essentially also asking a lot of unemployed people.
Yeah.
Looking for a job. I mean, at least you're not asking, be like, hey, listen, I'm willing to like write or direct or executive produce. Yeah. You know what I mean? At least you're asking for like something a little more like functional.
Yeah.
That's very cool that like you posted something on Facebook and like something happened.
Wait, can I ask you who that mutual friend was?
Yes.
It's not Jerry Seinfeld, is it?
No.
Okay. I'll go down the rest. That's the only comedian I know, so I'm out.
Well, you know Billy Lee, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll do a show with her.
Yeah.
I'll put it out on Facebook. I'll see if you can connect. Now I'm believing Facebook again.
Yeah.
Do you know Lindsay Ames?
Yeah, totally. Very funny. Oh my gosh, she's very funny. Yeah. Very cool.
She loves making sandwiches.
She loves sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah. So sandwiches. Funny.
Yeah. Oh, she makes good sandwiches too.
Yeah. I've not been to her show about it, but I have been meaning to.
Yeah. But it's The Buzz Around Town is a great show.
Oh, well, delicious. That is interesting. It does feel like, that strange bridge between people and feels very LA too in and of itself.
Because Ariana was a comedy girl.
Yeah.
Yes. OG. New York comedy scene. Yeah.
I love it.
Right?
Damn. Well, also, you know, that iconic thing where she takes comedy very seriously, which everyone makes fun of, but it's like, also, well, Kristen's show was bad. I mean, it was just like, it was an insulting show for someone who had comedic training to watch.
Yeah. I definitely get that instinct of like, I've interned, I've washed toilets.
There's a very insular protective thing that I absolutely get that it, not took gatekeeping, these, but it's, you know, you have a thing where you're like, this can be, like, sorry, I clean the toilets at UCB.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you took all the classes, you paid so much money. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, it's great. Now I have like a different sort of perspective where it's like, yeah, why not? Like if someone just walks in off the street and goes on stage and just kills it, like, yeah, why not? You know, Marvelous Miss Maisel, like she got drunk and went on a mic and crushed, like, awesome, especially if you're like a woman, like, do it. But I do also get that thing of like, I put in all these hours, I'm like poor, I work so hard, and you're just gonna do it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of had that at a certain point too, or especially because it's such a culture, as you know, like, as we all know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
an all consuming culture.
Yeah. All consuming.
There's a lot to learn too.
Yeah.
Like I think for comedians, they think that they see that other people might think that their job is easy, but it's actually extremely hard, and it takes a lot of work, and you do have to learn the craft. It is an art form.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if anyone is like, you know, if they like went to, showed up at the Olympics, was like, I could do this.
I can run straight.
Yeah.
For 3 seconds? Is that how long it takes? I can do that.
Yeah. I can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. An Olympian would be like, oh, come on, guys. Like, get out of here. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
So wait, take me through your first day on the job. What did you do? How were you oriented?
My very first day. I don't know. I mean, it was the first day, so, you know, everyone's very nice. Mm-hmm. I think I could tell this story. I think it's okay to tell the story.
Don't make me edit anything out. Please don't make me go. Don't make me come through and edit anything out. Please, 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 please. Please,
Jesus
please. Think
Christ.
About me.
That's true.
We'll edit anything out.
Okay. We will edit anything out, but okay. If we cannot, I would love to not, you know what I mean?
Right.
So don't just, yeah.
Okay, maybe but I won't
give,
tell her,
give us everyone's social security number, though, by the way. We're definitely going to air that.
No.
Everyone from the cast social security number. Right?
That's yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, we can absolutely edit anything out. He's doing a bit. He's doing a bit.
I'm absolutely doing a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go ahead and tell the story then. So the infamous penis flute.
Mm-hmm.
the very first day of my job, I was like cleaning the living room area,
mm-hmm.
and I lifted the penis flute to like wipe the dust off the table, and then when I was setting it back down, I didn't realize that it goes sideways. I thought mm-hmm. It's like the penis would stand straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So I set it down like that. And then like 10 seconds later, it just fell over and cracked. And so I went to Tom and I was like, I'm so sorry, but yeah. I like broke your penis flute. And he was so sad. He was like, oh, that's like a priceless Vanderpump heirloom. And I was like, I'm gonna replace it, I promise you. And Schwartz was there, and they were both like, no, it's like comes from a very small village that like is extremely hard, like it's not, you can't just buy it online. So I went on eBay, I like spent hours looking for it, I could not find it. So finally I like glued it back together, and he was happy with my glue job. And so 3 years later, I had no idea that I would be gluing this penis flute back together again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like my first day of work.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was going to get fired. I really, really did.
Wow. It's so telling, too, how upset he got over the penis flute, too.
And how cool you all were that there was a penis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of like the first day. It's just kind of like your penis flute, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Not many people have that, say that sentence.
I know. It's hard to say. Those days were numbered to begin with, though. So it must make you feel good looking back and being like, It was going to break
anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. It was going to be a priceless heirloom. It actually did have a price. He didn't buy it.
He did buy it. That's true. And also I got to practice gluing it back together again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now you can put that in your resume.
I know. Excel, Word.
Gluing.
And penis flutes.
Small village penis flutes together. Jesus Christ. Schwartz, like, tell me about like the Toms relationship, because it does feel like they're tight. And I mean, they're so tight.
Yeah, they're best friends.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's and what was your first impression of Schwartz?
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. He's so charming,
mm-hmm.
and he just is like so personable when you first meet him. Like, he really does focus his attention on, you know, like Katie says, like, oh, everyone loves you. I get mm-hmm. it.
Uh-huh.
Everyone does like fall in love with him when they first meet him. Like, he's just that. He's got like a Uncle Santa vibe. I don't know how mm-hmm. to describe it.
I think it was like Uncle Sam, and I was like, oh, like an American, like, Uncle Sam. I was like,
so,
okay,
now I'm in the army.
exactly. And as you started to meet the cast too, like, what was some of your first impressions of the cast?
Oh, everyone's beautiful. It's insane how gorgeous everyone is.
Yeah,
Damn. I mean, they're gorgeous on TV, but then you see them in real life, and you're like, oh, you really are that pretty.
Those pretty people.
Yeah,
all around and everywhere.
Yeah,
the Valley and West Hollywood.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
How often did they go to like Vanderpump properties when they're not filming?
Oh, pretty often. Like, Tom and Tom usually end up at Tom mm-hmm. to you know, meet the people, shake hands, take pictures. And they do that about like once a week. I guess mm-hmm. that's about it. I don't know.
we've heard a lot about, like, over the years on Vanderpump, Tom's like grooming, his extensive grooming. Does that hold true in your experience that he's kind of a high maintenance groomer?
I mean, I'm high maintenance groomer too, mm-hmm. even though I'm very sweaty and in a ponytail right now.
No,
but
same.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but like when I'm going out to meet people,
yeah,
I do my like girl showers and everything. And I like to spend a lot of time. Like, it's kind of therapeutic, you know, to like put on your makeup and everything. And I have a feeling it's kind of the same for Tom. And of course, because he doesn't have to do like winged eyeliner. Yeah. Like, it's, well, at least not all the time. But like, it's like shorter than my girl bathroom time.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not, because I think they really like make a big deal about it, especially in the reunions, how much time he takes. But it sounds like it's like, honestly, fairly reasonable for someone who's like in the public eye.
Maybe. Yes. Yeah. 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 The only thing that takes a long time probably is like putting on Tanner. Mm-hmm. Like, I know they all put on Tanner before being in front of the camera because, I mean, like, I'm Asian, so I don't have this problem. Like, you know, like if you have like very white porcelain skin, I don't know. I guess you appear different. I don't know. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, as someone who's very pale in general, like, I feel this. It's like you look like a dead person. So I feel, I mean, I understand where that's coming from.
Right. Yeah.
And what was your impression of Tom and Ariana's relationship?
Oh, good. I love them together. I know. Like, we would watch, what's that show? Midnight Mass on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, when I would work late at night, or like, if I have to like help him pack for, you know, a trip to Palm Springs or whatever. And it was always so fun because it was the three of us.
Just a fun midnight mass.
Yeah.
A horror session.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I love it.
Vampires in a small
Priests.
Town. Yeah.
And what were they, and this is like a question that I ask a lot about people's, like, what were their like snack habits and like kind of guilty play? Like something where it's like, what was in their fridge? Like, what's like a go-to that you like had to have in the house?
Right. They both eat very healthy. Like, I was the only one that ate a shit ton of snacks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I would go, like, pick up groceries, you know, there was, like, an allowance, of course, of, like, oh, grab something that, you know, if you get hungry, you can munch on. Or, like, you're welcome to grab a sandwich or whatever. So I would definitely be like, Kit Kats for me. Ice cream sandwiches? Like, please.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But they were just like very healthy, like
very healthy,
clean eating.
Yeah. Tom definitely is very like mindful of his eating habits. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Damn. And also just like I'm very curious, and I feel like I've talked about this too. It's like, did you get paid like hourly or weekly, or like, can you talk about that a little bit?
Can you show us those W-2s? Like, can you add them? Can you show
us? I'm curious if they were like, if you just got like because I get paid weekly, pretty much, or like bi-weekly or something.
Right.
But
yeah, I can't answer that.
Okay,
I'm so sorry.
No.
I know.
It's a very prying question.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, I could tell you privately, but yeah. It's like one of those things.
That'll be on our OnlyFans that will start just for this information.
So for this very sexy information.
Yeah. Those numbers, big numbers.
Money is sexy,
great.
Yeah, judging. assistant salary is so sexy. yeah, I know. It's so weird, like, because I am in an NDA, like, it is. I mean, like, even telling you, like, what foods he ate is probably not the best, but I also feel like, I feel like people know that he doesn't eat, you know, terribly.
Yeah.
Like, he's publicly said that. He's, like, mindful of that.
Yeah.
So I think
that's not a bad thing. That's
you didn't even name specific. You know, you were like, he eats really healthy and very thoughtful about
loser.
His... It's like, whoa, take it back. And he's talking about, like, George Floyd. So, like, it's okay, I think.
Yeah. Like, of course he has, like, some, you know, everybody has, like, guilty pleasures.
Sure.
But yeah, so I won't get into the guilty pleasures, but for the majority, he does eat healthy.
Yeah. And I know Ariana likes to binge Love Island.
Oh, we love talking about Love Island.
Like, what are their, like, guilty pleasure TV shows that I need to know?
Oh, God. I forced Ariana to watch, Ariana and Tom to watch I Think You Should Leave, which I'm obsessed with.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How can you not be? It's like a work
Thank
of
you
genius.
For introducing that.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. A good thing to do.
To know that they are watching, that you...
Yeah.
Introduce them to that.
Oh, I'm
like
honored.
Worlds colliding. Like, I'm exhilarated right now.
And of course, like, Ariana was like onboarding.
Oh, yeah.
She's my girl. So, like,
because it's a little, I mean, you know, for some people, it's a little bit like, you know, like whatever you want to call it, like surreal, absurd, or whatever. So, I wouldn't be surprised if some people are like, ah, this is not my, like a little delivered more straight ahead. But it's cool to hear that they dug it.
Yeah. Especially like, because Ariana is legit super funny.
Yeah.
Like, she is a comedy girl. Like, she is really. really funny. So I just like knew she would love it. Mm-hmm. Was like, you gotta watch this. Like,
yeah.
And we still to this day send memes to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so great. I mean, it's so, it like warms my heart. And yeah. It's such like, it's so, it really is telling of someone's character if they like appreciate that show.
Totally right.
So, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Ariana, oh, this is a hotline message from my wife who got me into Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's season 2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago.
Yes.
I kept walking in the room. I was like, who's right? Who's wrong? That's how I do look. That's how I get into reality shows. Like, who's right? Who's wrong? She asked a question. And I think this is kind of a little bit of not serious. Do you, in fact, work for Ariana now?
I can't answer that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. But
that makes sense.
Okay.
But my answer is, if you tune in, you will find out. At least in the next, like, I want to say like 4 weeks, three mm-hmm. or 4 weeks.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just a, yeah, okay.
I know. These rules are.
Yeah, no.
Silly.
No, it's great. No, yeah. And we don't want to make you uncomfortable at all. We do not want you to like leave being like, oh my fucking God. You know,
I literally just got in trouble with Bravo because I'll get like requests for, you know, like, I feel like I'm bragging. I'll mm-hmm. get a request for an interview.
Yeah, like right here in this gorgeous space. Yeah.
It is actually legit really cool. I love.
Do you think we're going to be in some kind of like janky, like.
I thought it was going to be like my setup, which is just my bedroom.
Well, that's what we usually record at my home.
Okay. Yeah.
But this is an update.
This is even impressive for us. We kind of look around.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Microwave?
Yeah.
Not to brag, but.
Yeah, you got a fiddle.
There's a microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Here. This is amazing. You got a printer?
Chairs? We got chairs.
Whiteboard?
Yeah.
A big whiteboard.
No ideas. Zero ideas.
Exactly.
Zero ideas.
Don't you dare. Actually, don't you dare.
I love that. Yeah. I can't remember your question. I'm so sorry. Oh, right. Yeah, but I got in trouble because mm-hmm. I said like a very soft spoiler. I think I'm just like defending myself right now. Mm-hmm. I definitely did say a little, like a tiny spoiler, and mm-hmm. I definitely got an email immediately that was like, don't ever do that
again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
So you get an email from like the attorneys there. Like what does being like reprimanded by Bravo look like?
It's like the media request department.
Okay.
And like they're like great at their mm-hmm. job. Like they're just doing their job.
Yeah.
You know, like they have people telling them.
I in my mind they're like a giant call center. Or they're like NASA, where they're like watching something and they're like all in like a
They're listening to us right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They're just like fucking on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the beauty of Bravo is that they really do know everything. It's like
Oh my God. There's so much discourse around their show. I can't even imagine. I'm sure they have it like down.
Yeah.
Very interesting though. Very interesting. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah.
So you talked about this on your podcast about how you were in Japan when Scandoval broke and how you were just like not getting like the best reception and like things were like coming in and out. And I just want you to just, and people should go and listen to the full episode. It's the first episode of We Send an NDA. It's so fun. I mean, because it's like your friend is there with you who's guested and he has no real idea. He knows like what you do.
Yeah.
But it's so fucking funny to hear you guys talk about this. And I just want to give our listeners like a little teaser because it's insane.
It
like you're so far from this.
Yeah.
And it like.
It's where were you in Japan from?
I was in Tokyo at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was. Okay.
Yeah. I was like in my hometown.
At the robot restaurant or something.
Well, funny enough, so there's a hotel in Japan called Henna Hoteru, which means weird hotel. And the concierge is like robots.
Uh-huh.
And it's like just happens to be in my hometown, which is like, so I lived in like an area, Akasaka, Roppongi, which is like kind of like the bar district, but also has like, so my dad was a diplomat. So mm-hmm. all the embassies are in that area. Oh. And this hotel just happens to be in that area. So I booked it for us.
That's so cool. I mean, Tokyo is amazing. I mean, but it's so, I mean, maybe more for like white. Like it's just so overwhelming and how it great. So I imagine being in an overwhelming city just in general, like, and then hearing this has got to be like levels.
Yeah. Like one of the reasons I really, you know, look forward to that trip is not only, you know, visiting my hometown and being part of my culture again and everything, but also my dad had passed away. So it was, you know, part of it was getting to like, feel like I'm closer to him or like feel like I'm closer to my childhood.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of that, like
the universe was like, fuck you.
Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. I have to correct myself. Now, we were actually in Kyoto when it happened.
Oh.
Now that I think about it. Do we have
I've been to Kyoto too, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as place okay. that I've been to.
As long as Jason's been there.
Yeah. Ryokan, is it, what's it called?
Ryokan?
Yeah. I say it like, wait.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I say it like, had the best sleep ever.
Really?
Yeah, they're amazing. They were so cool. Yeah, Kyoto was great.
Awesome. God, and I love hot springs so much.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I've got to go.
It's the best. But yeah, sorry. So our trip was Tokyo, then Kyoto, and then back to Tokyo. And so we were at Tokyo at first, the first 5 days of the trip. And then by August 3rd, when I found out, I was in Kyoto. Mm. Yeah.
And at this point, you were still working for Tom.
Yes.
You're just taking some weeks off to go travel. And so you're like, I'm fucking out of here.
What does he do when he doesn't have you?
Oh, I don't know. well, I did set him up with like a temp personal assistant.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when he's on tour, he doesn't really need an assistant with him. So there's part of that. I don't know. I just imagine that he's just like, a
regular
like
person.
Exactly. And so the temp personal assistant too, what do you tell the temp? Like, what do you, you're just like, just whatever he needs cleaned up and like, what's his deal?
I guess I just, you know, send them a list of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is your duties in the morning. This is, you know, what he'll probably ask of you. This is his dry cleaner. This is the grocery store that I go to.
Air One. I don't know it, but that's just my LA guess. Yeah. I'm not going to say, but I'm going to say Air One.
Air One.
I mean, I have gone to Air One.
Yeah.
There's like a non-alcoholic, because he's also a mixologist. So sometimes you have to find different.
Some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Air One carries a non-alcoholic spirit that. And a lot of, you can't really find at other places.
No.
So I have gone there.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, did you learn how to, any bartending tricks or like?
A little bit.
Yeah. Some like.
I'm not as fast as any of them. Like Ariana and Tom and Schwartz, even Schwartz.
Even Schwartz?
I was going to say.
Schwartz who lasted 5 minutes of a shift at Pump?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They all can make a cocktail. Huh. Yeah. Wow. Really fast, really well, like professional. It's like, okay, how many shots do I put in this? Wait, and then like I did the beginner's thing of putting the club soda in the shaker and then shaking it and exploding.
Oh,
and everyone being like, you idiot.
So. You're right. You were getting hazed by them.
A little bit. Probably.
Yeah. So wait, so you started, so you're in Kyoto and you start getting these messages kind of coming in and you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. So, it's like super early in the morning. I want to say it was like 6 a.m. We were both dead asleep. And then my phone just like, bring, 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 bring. And Oscar's like, what? Turn that off, please.
Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps going. So we're both like, something's happening. We should look at the phone. Okay. And then I keep seeing, like, are you okay? How are you holding up? Let me know if you can call, like, give me a call. And I feel so stupid about this, but I saw on the news that it was snowing in LA, like in Pasadena. And I was like, everyone's freaking out about the snow. Do they not know that I'm in Japan? Like, I'm not affected by this. And then.
You thought it was the snow.
I did. I thought everyone was like, it's snowing. Like, stay indoors, you know? And then I finally got, I got a message being like, I can't believe that this is happening to you. And you're, you know, like, is Ariana okay? And I was like, Ariana, like, yeah, she's okay with snow.
Like, you're fine. Like, all right, everyone like in LA is going to be okay.
You're the Three's Company.
And then finally, I was like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And then my dear friend Molly sent me a link. And then I looked at it and was like, this isn't real. Like, this happens all the time. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, there was, like, already paparazzi rumors about, you know, do they have an open relationship? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. Like, that's just some movie star, some reality TV talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend Molly was like, no, it's real. And then showed me, like, sent me links that is, like, confirmed and stuff. And Yeah. And then and then chaos ensued in my brain.
And you were like halfway through your trip at this point, too.
Yes.
So you had another ways, and you're like, great, this is now infiltrated.
Yeah. I'm like in like, you know, Kyoto is like a very like sacred place. There's so many like beautiful temples and shrines, and it was the capital before Tokyo, and a lot of it's like so perfectly preserved, and it's a place of pride for, you know, anyone who's Japanese. Like, it's just such a beautiful city. So that, like, I couldn't immerse myself in the experience, which was kind of a bummer, but in hindsight, it's a funny story, and I love funny stories. So
yeah. And so when you got back and you went back to work, how had things changed?
Oh my, they changed so much. It was bizarre. Walking into the house, just, I don't know if it was,
you felt like a cold draft.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, is this in my head because I know what's going on? And I think nobody knew if I knew because I was in Japan.
Yeah.
But I think immediately when you look at my face, you could tell that I knew, because it just instantly was very awkward between me and my boss. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Did he say anything to you?
That I cannot answer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But like,
yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Because I did not know. I did not, like, in hindsight, when you look back, you're like, oh, you know, there's some moments where you're like, oh, right. Okay. But I just never would have imagined it. Like, you know, like, I just feel like you would know if something was going on. So, and I definitely was like, mom and dad are so happy and I'm happy and we're all happy.
You know, and it could be this or it could be anything. You watch things on TV and you're like, I can see it. How come you can't see it? But like, when you're in it, it's a different, you know what I mean? Like, and it's interesting to hear that, you know, that you might just not, even though it's apparent to everybody else because they're seeing it in a certain way, you're like living in the in-betweens, I guess, of a lot of what everyone else is seeing.
Yeah.
So it must have been, it was like almost like a mourning, almost like.
You do grieve. Yeah. I definitely was like, my parents were divorced. So I definitely was like re-feeling those feelings very hard.
I'm also a child of divorce, Rebecca. I'm just letting you know that.
Okay.
I want to just let you know about my trauma.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
I gotta pipe in.
We're here for you. Okay. No, it's good. It's good. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's turn
it around. I didn't know how to move about in my space after that at work. It definitely was, I don't know. I mean, it's just very awkward.
Did your job, I mean, you know, do you feel like your job changed at all?
Everything changed.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which we see a little bit. I know that, you know, that's, we see such a small piece of your reality.
Yeah.
But just like the mediating that I think everyone really like, again, was like feeling you mediating between the two of them and just like how hard that must have been. And just.
It was hard. It was very hard.
Awkward. Like.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But at the same time, I did think it was necessary. Like,
yeah.
Just to keep everyone safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think they were lucky to have you.
Aww.
You know, no, but I'm saying, you don't know. Some people are, and it's not unfair. Some people probably couldn't handle it, or it'd be unfair to maybe think they could handle it. It's such a unique situation and like such an in a unique environment that they're pretty lucky to, you know what I mean?
Thank you. I mean, I would be resentful. And you seem so like, you're like, all right, deep breaths. We're going to take this in stride, people.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I've been through this shit in my life. So like, I feel like I knew how to proceed. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so I definitely was able to like call my therapist after work on the hard days and be like, I just need to process things. If I could just like perception check a little, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I definitely like, I'm not a therapist. I'm not trained in, you know, mediation or anything like that. So definitely...
now you are. You got the crash course.
I think your years in LA, especially in the comedy and entertainment scene, prepares you for some.
Yeah. Things. You have a PhD in trauma now.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
Yeah. But wait, so looking back on some of those things that, like, you, in hindsight, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, that was a little weird. Because I, listening to Raquel's podcast, how she says, you know, everyone saw it, which is, like, obviously not true. I think a lot of people have refuted that, really. But, like, looking back on some things that, like, felt strange to you, can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, that I wish I could talk about, but I definitely can't. But, you know, when, like, you know, when, I don't know, you get to know... This is like hypothetical, your friends who are like married or you see people in the comedy community or like celebrities, you know, any celebrity, like I'm trying to think of like any example right now, but you think that they're so in love and like Taylor Swift and her football boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see pictures and you're like, they love each other so much, but you really don't know what happens, like, behind closed door.
We'll ask her when we have her on next week.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, my God, I'll be stalking you guys. I love that.
I know. Yeah. Same.
Can you have an opinion, I mean, about Rachel or Raquel? Like,
yeah,
you,
what,
like,
are, what are your perceptions?
I mean, just whatever you feel like saying about her.
I'm very glad that she's doing the therapy. She's doing the work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. And, yeah, and of course I listen to and, like, she's really getting a grasp of the situation and her, like, looking back at things in hindsight. I think she's understanding the position she is. Her journey, it does take a lot of time. It is very slow process. There's going to be some things that I might be like, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. But, like, I respect that she's, like, taking those steps in recovery. You can't recover from situations, from trauma, until you really, like, face your trauma and face the fact that, oh, I am traumatized. Like, what happened to me actually happened to me. Like, I'm not, you know, like, in my case, and I've had, it's so weird to be like, I've had a lot of trauma in my life, but there's been situations where I'm like, oh, you know, well, that whatever traumatic event is over now. So it's behind me. I should be okay. But you don't realize that it actually like rewires your brain.
Yeah.
And the hardest part is admitting that it rewired your brain, you know, and she's doing that. And that's really hard to do. And that's pretty cool that she's doing that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you and I think I kind of support her not going back to the show because it's a really big step.
Totally, yeah.
And a really like line in the sand, especially for her, like a character. Yeah. I say character because I'm talking about her persona on the show and not necessarily who she is.
Right.
But because it does feel like she was kind of caught in a lot of different lines of fire, for lack of a better term.
Right.
But again, that's my perception of it. Obviously, she's an adult woman and had a lot of, you know, had her own agency too.
Yes.
For sure.
And like, you know, we cannot forget that, like, Ariana is a victim of the situation.
Absolutely.
Like, she is fully traumatized as well.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I don't want that. Sorry, I'm burping during, like, a very serious conversation.
You're real. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you're processing.
Yeah.
Physically
processing. Mm-hmm.
No fake tans here. Mm-mm. Just
real
burps.
Real burps, real tans.
Yes. Real lover boy burps. Yeah. This burp is produced by Kyle and Amanda. So, like, I don't want that to be, like, omitted from the conversation, you know? But, like, I'm hoping that, you know, Rachel... like sees that too, like keeps that and is mindful of that as well, which I don't know. I waver back and forth.
Yeah.
It's hard because, you know, you love your friends and you want to stick up for your friends, you know, but you also want to like respect all parties and it was very difficult. And, you know, I see her putting in the work. Like I do feel like there's still, and I'm sure she would admit this too, that there's still more work to be done, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think this season specifically to what you said about, like, Ariana is the real, she is the victim.
Yes.
And yeah. That's what kind of frustrates me about this season, too, yeah. is other people who have kind of benefited from this situation
yeah.
financially,
yeah.
maybe emotionally, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, they're kind of trying to
yeah.
say it's about them, which it's not, obviously people's friendships are fractured, but it's also just yeah. like, it's so frustrating to watch. I'm sure it's frustrating for you, too, to watch.
Yeah, it definitely, like, you know, because I did a lot of learning how to set boundaries and stuff. That was something I had to learn how to do. I am codependent. I really struggle with that issue. And, you know, and I, in my opinion, I think what Ariana is doing is extremely healthy, extremely hard to do. And she's so patient. Like, even when, you know, she's having those conversations with people who might make it about them, you know, as the public is conversing about right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good at validating her friends' feelings, but at the same time being like firm with her boundary. And that's very impressive to do. And it bums me out that they're taking something that is actually a really healthy and positive thing to do and making it like a bad thing, or making yeah. or being like, oh, she's not a good friend because of her boundary.
Yeah.
She's a very even keel. Like, yeah. Michelle, it's like, well, really, really good temperament about, I don't know, from my perception.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she does validate Sheena's feelings a
yeah.
lot.
We should literally just say it's Sheena. We're talking about Sheena
Marie.
Yeah.
Shay, if she still goes by that, I don't date
you. Baby.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's shown to be validating her
yeah.
feelings a lot, and kind of like, again, like swallowing her own. Like, she's yeah. really like, when she's talking to Sheena, she's about Sheena. So yeah. it's very frustrating to me to be like, Sheena, you're still making this about yourself.
Yes.
It's like such a selfish, like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that thing where it's like, you know, when Sheena was like, we had to do that thing in Tahoe. Mm-hmm. And like, I would have been like, we can't talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But Ariana, like, listened to her, validated her feelings, being like, that must have been very hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when they had that conversation on the couch where it was like, how would you feel if, like, Tom did the work and, you know, and then I started talking to him again.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana was like, my boundary is I don't want him in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him even, like, in my periphery.
Yeah.
So, like, we probably wouldn't be as close, which yeah. is totally fair.
Very reasonable.
But we're in
this weird world of reality TV.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my next question, too, which we didn't see a lot of that conversation, too. Or Ariana was just like, bad news. She was very diplomatic. She was just like,
very diplomatic.
That'd
yeah.
be bad news, probably. You know, like, she's yeah. just very, like, you know, reasonable, when most of us would be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. And I'm sure there's things that we don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah.
Then we shouldn't know. Really?
You know,
it's like, it's yeah. a private thing.
Yeah. It's none of our business. Yeah.
I'm wondering too, just a couple questions.
Yeah.
Two questions. One, in your estimation, what percentage of the cast is in therapy, you think?
Oh, definitely Ariana. Ariana and I both love therapy, and like, we talk therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
It shows, I guess, right?
And yeah. Truly. Yeah. I mean, Ariana, like, I've only met her once and
yeah.
she was wonderful, but like, she just feels like our people. Like,
yes.
And she just feels very, like, relatable to
yeah.
me.
Like, very emotionally, extremely intelligent. Like, mm-hmm. she's just a very smart person.
Yeah. I mean, it shows.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem is, like, it shows given, like,
yeah.
her being on the show for so many years with so many people.
Yeah. I feel like Katie probably does therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never asked, but just seeing how, like, she's grown so much, especially mm-hmm. in this last, like, 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And she's really, like, coming into her own, and I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
Like, I love her.
Aww.
Yeah. And just seeing, like, just even watching her now, she's so much more relaxed and comfortable in her own skin.
She's very cool.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like yeah. a very cool.
She's a very,
yeah. yeah.
She's a cool babe. Uh-huh.
No, it's true. And her style, I think everyone like
loves.
Yeah. Like, I think she's just like, so talk about coming into her own and just like, yeah, feeling like comfortable
yeah.
and like being very like, oh, okay.
Yes.
You know?
Because you're like, at least in my opinion, style is something that reflects who you are on the inside to the outside.
It's yeah.
like, What you know, you're telling people your vibe.
Yeah.
And she's telling, she's acing the assignment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Haircut. Mm. I mean, everyone's
love
talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's close to me knows I'm obsessed with like a 90s vibe babe.
Truly.
Yeah. I love her haircut.
Truly.
I was a mere child in the 90s. I was barely in my
40s.
I was barely in my 40s. I don't know. Can't relate.
You remember what it was like?
No. I was barely in my 40s. What? Mm. Have you ever met Lisa Vanderpump?
Yes.
Okay. What's it like?
What does
to
she
be,
smell like?
Yeah. What's it like to be her?
She's a queen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a queen.
But like, does she smell good?
Like roses and like the most expensive roses.
Darling.
Yes. She's just like, I can't even like when she's in like 5 feet from me, mm-hmm. all I could think about is how glorious she is. Mm. That all my senses are.
You just want when she throws in the intro, when she throws a purse or like whatever, you just want to catch it.
I just want to catch it. I'll catch you.
Yeah.
Throw
She's
me
tiny.
A Pomeranian. I'll catch it.
Wait, I had another question that I don't want to forget because so many questions. But okay, do you think just like friend and like person in Ariana's world that she should have gone back on Vanderpump Rules? Well, we talked about like Rachel Raquel not being on the season kind of to help with her mental health.
Yeah.
What do you think about Ariana going back on the show this season?
Oh, I support it. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, when I briefly worked on America's Funniest Home Videos. It's
amazing.
Like, yeah.
I did a stint with them.
Yes.
But no, I was doing recreations. I did weird. I wore a diaper.
You wore a diaper?
I wore a diaper. I did sketches.
Okay.
For that weird era, that 2000 weird amazing. 11, 12, 13 era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't find them online. America's Funniest Videos. I think a lot of us kind of ran through that.
Yeah.
Funniest videos.
A lot of comedians went through. Yeah. Yeah. And I was, I had a job as a logger. So all the submissions, I was like the first eyes to see things.
Whoa.
And the rule was if they like AFV loves a fall, falling off a boat or whatever. Yeah. And the rule was you have to see the recovery. Mm-hmm. Like if they fall off a speeding boat mm-hmm. and you don't see them come up out of the water, mm-hmm. too sad to air on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I feel like that rule kind of applies in any situation. Like mm-hmm. it's so much easier watching something that's extremely difficult when you see the recovery of something. And yeah, we want to see Ariana fly. Like we see snippets of her flying when the season wasn't airing, but mm-hmm. you know, we want to see that.
And yeah.
So it's been a little, you know, it wasn't like the season that I imagined. Like I thought we were going to see her like soar, you know, but there was some like internal friendship struggles we're seeing. So yeah.
Yeah. It feels like people are pretty jealous of her.
I do want to say like, you know, and I think like going back to what we were saying earlier, but I would imagine that Lala probably does therapy. Like some of her language feels familiar and like, I get it. Like when Lala went through what she went through, the world was different. You know, the world is misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting better. We're attempting to get better. But there's still, you know, the pay gap is still there.
Truly.
We lost our rights to have, you know, choices over our own bodies.
Yeah, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still some very dark things. And I totally understand that feeling of like when I was victimized, no one was there for me, you know, but I, you know, and that anybody would be angry about that. I do feel like the anger should be at the world rather than, you know, the treatment of one person.
Yeah.
Like it is unfair. Like that's something I just want to like hold Lala and be like, it is unfair. Like it's totally unfair what happened to you. And I'm so sorry. And I want to be here for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love Lala so much. So I'm sending her like a hug mentally right now.
Like, yeah, she's been through a lot. And we also, I think it's also maybe hard to I think with other people in the cast, we see a lot of what's going on. But Lala has had struggles that we didn't see. And I think that has been kind of a disadvantage for her perception in the public, too, where it's like, no, she's going through a lot. She's in a lot. Like, there's a lot going on with Lala.
She has a kid with her abuser. Like, no one could understand that unless you've gone through it. Like, that's really difficult, you know? And she's like, she's a warrior. Like, she's handling it better than I could probably. A lot of respect.
So nice to hear. Well, I also wanted to ask you too, who is most like how they're edited, because they are, who is most like they are on TV and who is least like they are on TV?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I see the diplomat coming out. I see the trained people pleasing diplomat.
Hi, welcome. Hello, I'm here.
That's so funny because I do like parts work therapy right now, and I have to like label all my parts. So like, hello, right now in the seat of the diplomat.
In the position you're in, we all have to be in certain respects.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, I will say that when my friend, so I had my friend Molly come with me to be my assistant during BravoCon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I remember, so we ran into Katie and Lala at the airport. And we chit-chatted with them for a little bit because we were on the same plane, but we were in economy class and they were like in first or business class, for probably first class.
Yeah.
And when we were like getting our luggage, we ran into each other. Mm-hmm. So like we knew that they were on our plane, but they didn't know that we were on the plane because we were like all the way in the back.
Yeah.
So and we were like chit-chatting. And then afterwards, Molly was like, oh my gosh, Lala is so nice. Uh-huh. And she's like really sweet and like kind.
That's cool to hear.
I feel like you don't get to see that as often.
You really don't. Well, she's always like fighting, you know, she's like, she's always kind of on the defense, you know, and that's like its own job.
Totally. And in real life, she's very like, she's a goofball. Yeah.
I hope we get to see more of that.
I hope so too.
That is really nice to hear.
I got another hotline. My sister, Jen.
Yeah.
In New York, I said that I was talking to you. And she said, Anne? She's my favorite person on the show.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you.
Well,
so
Graham
much.
The dog was her favorite, so now you've just bumped up. You've just got.
I passed Hippie.
Wait, I need to know. Is Graham Hippie?
Yes.
There's some theories floating around that it's not the same dog. I won't say that we're perpetuating it, but we have discussed it because they look a little bit different.
Yeah.
In your mind, just confirm that they're the same dog.
I'm pretty sure it's the same dog. I do get it though, like. I remember when I saw the pictures of Hippie, of Graham / Hippie, I was like, oh, Graham looks smaller than I remember. But he's...
Conspiracy. That's my little conspiracy.
We're clearing it up right here.
Yeah. But, you know, Graham is like a poodle mix, I think, as like curly, fluffy hair.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was just like a summer cut situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all it was. It's just a new haircut.
That's good. I hope Hippie's doing okay.
Me too. I hope so. I feel like Hippie's thriving.
Okay, good.
Allie's a good mom.
Yeah. Oh my God. Poor Allie too. Well, I also took issue, and again, I don't know how James is, but that he didn't really even ask, or maybe that happened like at some point before. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because really to like foist a dog who's had a history of perhaps misbehaviors onto your partner with her beloved elderly cats.
Yeah.
As a former cat owner and a current dog owner, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Allie is truly, to her core, a kind-hearted person. She is a saint.
Totally.
She truly is that sweet.
Yeah.
I think Allie does therapy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe talk to us.
She's a good egg.
She's very like open too. I think she was on
an episode of Ghost Town.
We were talking about that. She was so lovely and very open and very down. We asked some weird things of her that evening at the show.
No, she was cool. She's cooler than some people. Some people I know and like regularly hang out with.
Yeah, she was like, oh, these. I'm just a young person coming to hang out in a hotel room with some weird paranormal people. She was like, oh, I'm was so weird. Down. I mean, she's like, I'm there. I was like, you don't have to hang out.
We had lights. We had books. We had talking boxes.
I was like, is she going to be down for this? Like, we're just random. We're older strangers. It was like, we're like baiting
even me.
Her.
I was also slightly older.
Even you.
But it's the chateau, at
yeah,
least.
It was very yeah. cool. Yeah. And I think we were all kind of blown away by like the seance. It was
some of it was like not even like we were all, it was like us together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Patty.
Patty and Agri.
Yeah.
So, also very sweet.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, and that's it. We were all in this kind of level playing field of weirdness.
Yes,
love that.
It was amazing.
Did you see any ghosts?
We saw a lot. Yeah, there was a lot. We were packed
in. It was
in.
Really, I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it on your podcast about paranormal experiences. And I told them about how you were in the Janis Joplin hotel room.
That really messed me up.
You know what? I was thinking about this, like, after we finished our interview, I never got to go back and ask you about that. But now I get to ask you guys now.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, so... You saw something and then you immediately had to take a shower?
So we were there and we were just setting up. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I really should just be saving this for your show. Now I'm going to have nothing to say.
I know.
Now I got
after to this,
we'll
turn
it, say it again.
Yeah. We turn it right back to you, though.
Yeah. So I was. We were there. We were just setting up. And then I just had this. And I was feeling chills. During the day, no one was there. Nothing even. It wasn't even weird.
Yeah.
I was putting stuff down. And I just was like, I felt like just like. Something came over me where I was crawling out of my skin. And I literally just was like, remember I was just sitting there. I was like,
you were weird.
I got to take a shower. And you're
really
like,
weirded out. You were like, and I was like, I'm eating donuts. Like, I was just like,
It wasn't a thing where we were like getting spooky and weird.
No, it was like 3 p.m. It was like, wow.
Like we were going to go to Barney's Beanery. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's where I, you know, maybe had our last meal.
Yeah.
A little dark history for you. And then I just had this overwhelming feeling. And I just literally, you know, went to the bathroom, had to rip off all my clothes and got in the shower. And just got in the shower and just let the shower run. And then I felt worse in the shower.
It was weird.
It was really, it just had like a dog, like a sick, and this is not something that I feel like every, like, you know, every other day. It's, I've just had a couple of things in my life where things really affected me. And I'm a skeptic, by the way. And I'm a skeptic and I still am a skeptic.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that really, it really messed me up. Yeah. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah. It was weird.
Very, very weird.
Gotta go check out Ghost Town for that though.
Yeah.
Plug our own other podcast. Yeah. God damn it.
We plugged the I feel like
they're like tuning out. Unsubscribe.
Can we do a couple of Reddit questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vanderpump Reddit. We'll get back. Just a little.
Sure.
A little,
yeah, sorry I talked too much.
No, we love this. No, okay, great.
That's
amazing.
Vanderpump Reddit, you got to give them.
Yeah. I love Vanderpump Reddit.
I know. Oh, yeah.
They're great.
They're on it.
They're
so
on
smart.
It.
Yeah.
So any of these things, I'm going to ask you a couple. Any of them, you can just be like, no comment, don't want to answer.
Okay.
The only reason I'm going to start with this one, because it's at the top and a lot of people seem to have upvoted it.
Okay.
It's from Bosmack or Bosmack. How bad does he smell really? And for some reason, then somebody said, Sharks looks like he rarely showers. I want to know who smells worse. He prefers creek baths. Sandoval smoke thing. The jury is out. So you don't have to answer any of these. I just wanted a reaction from you.
I will tell you this. This is something I can say, is that my cousin literally texted me being like, I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Reddit about your boss like smelling bad. Is that true?
It's getting to the family.
This one's not a question. This is a little shout out to you.
Okay.
It's just she had a small part in the Office episode where Michael works next to the call center.
Yeah.
You know, she spent all day filming with Steve Carell. I don't have a specific question, just pointing out she was on a bigger show before any of them. Let her know it's awesome.
Oh.
And Jax and TS could never. So.
Oh my God.
I've also auditioned for The Office many times and I never booked it. So I'm also with Jax and Sandoval.
Thank you.
Let's see here.
That's very sweet. Thank you for like finding that.
Yeah.
Fans.
Thank you.
Now, none of these you're going to answer, but I'm going to say them.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm just going to get a reaction.
Yeah, my reaction.
Number one, we know the answer. Were you a production plant?
No, I really did apply for this job and got the job. Like, it's real.
There's a couple things I'm not even gonna like. It's not even.
I'm curious.
Do you want me to just say it?
Yeah, why not?
Are Billy and Tom hooking up?
I don't think so. But also, I mean, obviously, I'm clueless to a lot of stuff.
Mm. Did you witness drug use? Oh, I'm just asking me because I'm a cop. I'm undercover. Did him and Ariana speak to each other directly ever?
What do you mean?
Did they ever after? I'm assuming after Scandoval, did they ever speak to each other like without an intermediary?
Okay, they at least in front of me never. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's that teaser where they do, and like I remember gasping audibly when I saw that scene where I'm like, oh, they did speak to each other.
Yeah.
So,
OK Plant was the other person, 8420. I'm just giving you the name.
Everyone thinks you're a plant.
I swear to God, this is
something you can answer at any level you want or not. Yeah. What's the weirdest thing he asked you to do? I feel like on day one,
that's pretty weird.
Gluing the penis flute is pretty.
My error, though.
Dusting a penis flute.
I actually think I can't answer that, unfortunately.
That's okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm so sorry. No. I know. NDAs are so silly.
We knew coming into this that you could not answer the deep, dark recesses of the internet's questions.
Right.
But you would do your best.
Yeah. No specifics. Anything that is like public knowledge or has appeared on the show or like any, you know, podcast, whatever that I could talk about because it's already, you know, we already know the answers to. Mm-hmm. But anything that is not public.
Yeah.
I can't. So even if it's like the dumbest thing of like, what's his favorite candy bar? I'm like,
yeah, you're like,
I could get sued.
Yeah.
And I'm just being careful.
Totally.
Out on the ceiling says, how does it feel to be the people's champion?
Oh, my God. Honored. Honored and grateful. And, like, I'm still, like, just blown away. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this is incredible. Thank you.
Let me just make sure I got that. So a lot of a couple of questions are like this, and I don't know why this is a question. It says, did Tom pay you well? How did you quit? How are you doing now? A lot of it's asking if you're getting paid and like as if you're doing it for like intern credits or something like that.
Right.
But I don't know why people don't think you wouldn't be
getting paid. That'd be insane.
Wouldn't be getting paid.
Yeah.
Somebody, Zookeeper Games, says any hot gossip. Yeah, that's where.
Yeah, that's what we're all here for, sir.
Oh,
woman.
Man. Yeah.
Somebody says, what do you wish more people knew? And that could be it doesn't have to be negative.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't, you know.
Yeah. Talking about your experience,
That everyone is truly really nice and cool. I just like if they only knew how fucking awesome everyone is. Mm. Yeah, that's what I really want people to know.
I'll ask one more.
Yeah,
this is from Beauty Bay. How loud was the white noise machine?
It's fucking loud. It's really like you hear it, and that's what it. Yeah, I could see how it would drive someone mad.
Speaking of the proximity of the white noise machine, the Lego portrait.
Do you
think Ariana should have Tom taken out, or should we just burn the thing? Like, what is the fate of the Lego portrait if you had your druthers?
If I was in charge of the Lego portrait, I would maybe like rearrange it so it's Maya and Kitty. Yeah, but like in the same pose, but it's Maya and Kitty. Yeah.
So Maya would be like Ariana and Kitty would be Sandoval.
Yeah.
I like that answer.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about the Janis Joplin thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having like my skin is getting red. And this happened when we were at the Elliott Smith house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Remember I was like, I can't stop I'm red and I'm scratching.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
What is going on?
Is the Cecil Hotel close to here?
It is pretty. It's relatively close.
Well, yeah, we're relatively close. Yeah.
I am way too terrified to ever step foot in that place.
I mean, it's a nightmare.
Have you guys gone there?
I've not got. Well, I think when we did the episode on it, it was closed.
I think I walked into the little center thing. This is before, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just was like, oh, it's an old hotel.
Yeah.
Not even knowing. this is probably even, you know, before Lisa Lanthing, but I remember when my mom came to town, and she was like, we're going to places. And I took her to the Cecil to like check out this, because we were downtown. I was like, oh, let's check this out. And we went to the behind, like with the parking garages in the back. Like you have to go like up. It's really weird. And you see the back of the building. And then my mom was watching that Netflix documentary. She's like, hey, I'm watching this documentary. Is this the place you took me to? She's like, why did you take me here? It's terrifying.
There are multiple serial killers living in this building.
Yeah. It is terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But the Hotel Alexandria is supposed to be the most haunted one in in downtown for sure, which has a bar. I'm not sure if it's open still, called the Down and Out. If you want like a, if you ever want
because you do tour,
I used to be a tour guide. So I haven't talked about that on the podcast, but yeah, if you ever want any tour, it is fun.
I love that. I'm so in.
Awesome. We'll do it. Well, okay, I have a couple more questions. I don't want to keep you too long.
Okay,
because I know you've had a long day.
This is only part one of eight, so
I do also have to record our podcast.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm gonna wrap this up real quick.
I'm so sorry. And I talk
but give us your best though. But give us your best.
Yeah.
We'll do.
Well, I just want to ask, like, how is it seeing yourself on Vanderpump? Like,
crazy.
What's it like?
I mean, like, I hate hearing my own voice. I've always been told that I've had a strange voice. So, you know, like, and no one really likes to hear themselves talk.
Yeah.
Because the voice in your head is different than what you sound like to other people. So, you know, and I do that thing where I'm self, you know, where I'm a little critical, where I'm like, that's how I sound. Why is there lipstick on my teeth? Why didn't I fix my hair? Why do I look so sweaty? You know, I start doing that thing.
I feel that.
What's it like being, like, you know, because we see this, we don't see most of the time we don't see the cameras there. What's it like to, like, the crew, like, you know what I mean? Having, like, these just people with, like, are you able to divorce yourself from that where you like can remove yourself? I guess I imagine you would have to be like, you know, like, you know, because you're professional and also like you're doing your job.
It takes a couple of days, I think. Yeah. I think the first time we shot, I definitely was like, you know, like speaking of The Office, like you're kind of aware of the camera.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, you just kind of get used to it and you get to know the crew, and the crew is like immensely nice. They're just the best. So you kind of just start being able to be yourself in front of like the boom op and the cameraman and the producer, and like the producers are all like super smart, funny people, you know, they're very like crafty, they know they're good charmers, so you just fall in love with everybody, and then at that point you feel like you could be yourself.
Are you aware, do you know when you're going to work day for day what days you're might be on camera, or
I did not know.
It was
just like sometimes
you just wear a ball gown every single day.
I'm full hair and makeup, full glam.
There's definitely like some shots where you see me and I look insane, and I'm like, oh, that's because I didn't know I was gonna be on TV.
Yeah, you're just like doing your job, which is physical.
Probably and, one
like,
of the most reality parts of this. Right?
Totally. Well, I just want to ask, like, what have you learned from like being on reality TV versus like again, like being unscripted and being a comedian, like specifically this experience, how did it change you? What did you learn?
It feels a lot like improv. It's astounding how much I kind of quickly reverted to that like muscle in my brain. But
to be constant pivoting, like
that too, but also like just yes ending constantly. You're just, you know, like a, like being an assistant, your job is to just say yes to everything and make sure that your boss is comfortable and happy and he's getting what he asked for. So like already I'm yesing everything he wants or asks of me. And then on top of that, when you're like shooting a scene, you're kind of doing the improv yes ending. So that was like kind of surprising to me, I guess.
Thanks, improv.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sometimes we wonder what was all those 15,000 years for.
Here we are.
Now I know.
And also like how, I don't know if you can talk about your job ending or anything like that, or like the next steps.
I can't talk about that.
That's all right. What about your podcast?
Oh, I can talk about my podcast.
How did that come from? Because, again, you know, we signed an NDA. How you met your co-host Amanda, who was so nice.
Yes.
And yeah, what kind of you hope, what's next for you?
Yeah. So
that's a lot of questions in one. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'll try to, I'm a pothead. I don't remember anything. So just remind me if I don't answer, you know, the whole question. But like, so I met Amanda through improv.
Mm-hmm.
We both do this improv show. It's like late at night in a hole in the wall improv theater, you know, in Los Feliz.
Incredible.
Yeah. And we just immediately fell in love with each other. Like I saw her on stage, was like, that girl's funny. And then we just immediately came up to each other and was like, you're so great. And then she joined the cast, and then she became part of like the cast chat group.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved to like just do bits all day long in the chat group. And then she was having a party, and she was like, hey, I just wanted to invite you guys to come to this party. And her address was literally like one number away from my address. And I DM'd her and was like, is this a bit? Because I think I'm your next door neighbor. And she like literally lives across, like I could look into her bedroom window from my bedroom.
If you weren't invited, this would be a very awkward situation on the Converse.
She'd have little like tin can phones.
She'd be like, oh my gosh, I have a stalker.
Yeah, exactly. Yikes, right in my window, huh?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I found out that she was working for a reality TV star.
Mm.
So then we just like bonded super hard on like working for a reality TV star.
Yeah.
And she was like, because we're both signed in NDAs and these clauses, like she's the one person I could text like, oh, isn't it crazy when you have to deal with this with a reality TV star? And she'd be like, yes, I know. And like, I knew she could keep my secrets and I could keep her secrets.
Yeah.
And then one day, like while we were, you know, hanging out, getting stoned together, we're like, we should do a podcast about assistant life and reality TV. That's literally how it started.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my God. Yeah. Anything else you think we should know about your time on VPR, which is still happening? Like, you know, it's very interesting to kind of see you evolve. And also, like, you've got to be on Watch What Happens Live. Like,
I want to do it.
I feel like it's going to happen.
Bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm like trying to figure out how to, I mean, like already, you know, when Andy was like, Ann, come on, come be a bartender.
You're like, yeah.
You saw my raw reaction.
Yeah.
I just was like dying.
I know. I feel like you don't have to do any, like everyone else is just like, yes.
Andy, if you're listening.
Mm-hmm. You're not, but.
Yeah, you're he's a very busy man. That's right, he's a dad.
Yeah.
Of course,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He doesn't have time to listen to podcasts.
Yeah. But what is next for you?
I don't know. The world is my oyster.
Mm.
I'm down for anything and everything.
I love it.
Oh, you know what? This I can talk about is I shot a mattress firm commercial.
I love it.
No one on set though knew, except for like two people. Like one person came up to me and was like, are you Aunt, like Tom's assistant? And I was like, yes. And it was the first person who ever recognized me. And then after my fitting, she was very nice. I walked up to her and I was like, can I take a picture with you? And she was like, wait, why do you want to take a picture with me? And I told her, like, you are literally the very first person who's ever recognized me. And I just wanted to commemorate it. And she was so nice. She let me, like, take a picture and put it on my story. So.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm sure more to come.
Let's do it.
I know. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Yeah, so we signed an NDA. You can find that wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah.
We signed an NDA on Instagram.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Ann, M-I-K-I, Ann Maddox. Mickey's my actual first name. It's my Japanese name.
Love it.
Yeah. We'll put that all in the
thing. And thank you so much.
Rate this. Why don't you rate and subscribe to this show, people out there?
Yeah.
Now's your time. We've earned it this time.
Feel empowered.
Rate, review, and you know what I mean? And keep listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. It's so fun.
This is really fun.
Oh. This one's-